Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Everybody, and welcome to another edition of At Home with Victoria, 8 o'clock here on the East Coast. I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for tonight. Our lovely news lady, Victoria Gaither, is away tonight doing something. She did tell me, and I promptly forgot it. So, however, she won't be with us tonight. We've got a great show for you tonight. I'm really thrilled to go ahead and have Max Reiser here. Max Reiser, I fell in love with in this web series In Between Men by Quincy Morris. Brilliant actor. He's fresh off his Dublin tour for role play written by Greg Turner. And he's attending the opening of Chaser, the second opening of Chaser, actually, tonight in Brooklyn. So he's going to be joining us to talk about him. I'm happy we're getting him now because, mark my words, this kid is going to be bigger than Cruise and all the top ones. So, you heard him here first is what I'm going to tell you about that one. Then joining us is a modern-day troubadour. And, yes, I had to look up the word troubadour, but he truly is. Estas Tone is joining us all the way from Austria tonight with his music being played throughout the show. You're going to fall in love with this man. He's as spiritual as you'd ever want to have him. And then Supergirl herself, Helen Slater, is starring in the movie The Good Mother that's going to be airing on June 8th on Lifetime television. You've seen her in Secret of My Success, Legend of Billie Jean, City Slickers, and a wonderfully talented singer. I did not know that about her, but she'll be joining us around the 8:50 mark. So I want to get the story started with a little bit of music. This is Estas Tone, and I'm going to butcher every song title here, but this is Little Yellow Carol. When we get back, Max Reiser's in the house. Reason why I'm putting songs from 2011 is that his music, when you listen to it in its entirety, some of the songs are a full hour long. So However, Max Reiser, thank you for joining us. What did you think about Estas? Isn't that some brilliant music?
Yeah, that was truly beautiful. Thanks for having me, Michael.
It's my absolute pleasure. Welcome to Atonement Victoria, buddy. Like I was telling everybody before, In Between Men was the first time I saw you, and then very recently after that was Homeland, which is a really great movie if you wanted to go ahead and check it out. It's actually available on Netflix now. But Max, how does a little boy raised in Amsterdam get all the way to New York City?
My mother's American Israeli and my dad is Danish. They met in Amsterdam, so that's where I was born and raised. I spent a few years living in Paris and a few years living in Copenhagen, and then I got a scholarship to a drama school in London. And about 9 years ago, I came to New York for a week and had a truly miserable week. And based on that misery, I decided to stay and fix it. So here I am 9 years later, and I caught myself about a year ago saying that here I am 8 years later still trying to fix it, and I caught myself. And I was like, no, wait, that's not true. I'm here, and I've already fixed it, and now I'm here by choice. And New York City feels more like home to me than anywhere has ever felt. So, it's good to be here.
Great city. Now, you had a little career in radio as well in the beginning years.
When I was a high schooler in Amsterdam, I had a bit of a commercial career, which included some print work and a brief stint at some radio work, as well as a few professional theater engagements between high school and leaving for acting school in London.
Right. Yeah, you're like an entertainer's entertainer. You've done theater, you've done commercial work, you're an accomplished model as well as, now an actor that's taking the world by storm. And I'm not kidding, Max. I'm really thrilled you're here now, because there will come a time that I will not be able to reach you without going through some people of yours. So I am thrilled for you.
From your lips to God's ears, Michael. I love the sound of it. I love the sound of it.
Now, you just came back from Dublin with Greg Turner doing role play. Been reading some of the reviews, and they're fantastic. No surprise there. But, buddy, you're nude in almost the whole entire play.
Yes, I am. You know, I don't know if it's because of the modeling work I've done or because of Chaser, but people assumed I'd be very comfortable getting naked, but for me it was actually a challenge. I came across Greg's play, Sarah Sahin, the director, contacted me, and I read it, and I just love the piece. It's so beautiful, so heart-wrenching, so real. It deals with a couple that has gone awry, and their very extreme attempt to save their relationship. And as soon as I finished reading the play, I knew I was going to have to say yes, and I knew I would have to face my challenge of performing butt naked in front of lots of houses of people. And I'm happy to say that I said yes, I did it, I overcame my fear, and it was truly amazing, truly amazing.
Yeah, it's got to do a little bit to your sheer head, because, of course, a trained professional as yourself with his eye on the target and the prize and stuff, but, I mean, geez, Max, I mean, did you have to prepare mentally for that? How many shows did you guys do in Dublin, by the way?
We had a total of, I believe, 8 shows. It spanned for a week. It's the it was the 10th annual International Gay Theatre Festival of Dublin.
Okay.
With companies coming in from all over the world. Mental preparation. Definitely. At a certain point, I think as an actor, whether you're playing a person who's raping a girl or somebody who's murdering somebody, you just have to let go of who you are as a person and just, like, delve into the character, which is, you know, it was similar in this play. And it wasn't just that I was naked. I was naked and tied up and gagged and blindfolded. It was pretty intense all across the board. But fortunately, I totally trusted Greg and our director, Sarah Sahin, and my co-star, Ryan Patrick Barry, is a phenomenal actor and a sweetheart of a man. So I felt very, very safe and very well taken care of.
Yeah. You know, who knew that little Greg Turner had it in him from writing Empire going to something so, you know, terribly controversial? But your mom caught up with you at the end of the run, didn't she?
Yes, she did. My mother still lives in Amsterdam, and she expressed an interest in coming to see the play, and I told her I didn't think she would like it. So I sent her the script, and she read the script, and she said, "What are you talking about? This is nothing." So yeah, my mom was there. She was there when I was nominated for Best Actor, and she cried a little. She was very overcome with joy and pride. So that was quite a riot. It was lovely to have her there. Awkward, but lovely.
Well, your mother's seen your doodle a few times, so it's nothing new to her. Just a little bit of hair on it now this time.
That's totally true.
But the pictures actually with you and her were fantastic. She's a very lovely looking woman. You've got a ton of stuff in the hopper. I want to go ahead and mention them all. Let's start off with Conversations with My Ex. I think you're brilliant in that one as well. Is that with Sal Bardo? Is Sal Bardo writing that one too?
No, Conversations with My Ex is a new web series that's airing on Gist TV on YouTube. It's a YouTube channel, and it's created by Adam Fitzgerald, a good friend of mine, and Blake Drummond. It stars, among many other very talented actors, Stephen Caron Williams, who's actually a good friend of mine from way back, and he's currently on Broadway with Tom Hanks and The Lucky Guy.
Wow.
So there's a lot of talent on the show, and we just completed the first season, and we're all very excited about getting started with the second season.
Yeah, absolutely. Give us a bit of the premise. I know the title says it all, but a little bit of the premise with it.
Yeah, there's I believe, three or four main couples, some straight, some gay, and it's you know, all the trials and tribulations of being in love and being faithful and being committed and living in New York City. And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, what's really appealing about the show is that it's actually very true to life. And if you can't identify with all the characters, I promise you, there's at least one character and one couple that you can totally, totally see yourself in. And I think that's the main appeal.
Yeah, I found, too, the lesbian couple, the dark-haired lesbian couple, were, I think the open-up episode one, they're on the street corner and everything, and jealousies really do pipe up when you're talking with, an ex, and she has to run and give her keys, and, you know, I don't know if I would have been that good of a girlfriend, but that's just my two bits, but...
Hey, listen, love and relationships ain't easy.
No, never. How long was your longest relationship, Max?
My longest relationship was 4 years.
There we go, yeah. Yeah, 4 years. That counts. That counts as a good relationship. But,
yeah, no, I've always been more into relationships and love than random sex.
Yeah, well,
but that,
to
that
the detriment of all.
Michael.
you're on your way to Chaser now. Chaser is a very, very different. A different subject. I didn't really quite know that it ever existed, but tell us a little bit about what Chaser's all about.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Michael, when I was 18 living in Amsterdam, I had to do a current report for my Dutch class, and I wasn't a big fan of reading the newspaper, and my mom, knowing I was gay, gave me this article, which was titled Het Dodelijke Kus, The Deadly Kiss, and it was about this wave of gay men who... were sort of exposing themselves as being very interested in non-protected sex because of their risk factor involved, sort of like a Russian roulette of sex, will I or will I not contract HIV?
Right.
And reading that as a teenager, just, I guess, profoundly disturbed me and scared me, and it's probably what has kept me safe all these years. So fast forward to about 12 years later, I have a spiritual healing practice, and I had a handful of clients who were all dealing with different sorts of sexual addictions, and it sort of just brought all those thoughts back to the surface for me. At the time, I was working with Sal Bardo on his first film, Requited, and we started talking about it, and we were both equally taken by, you know, I guess basically sexual subcultures in general, but specifically the phenomena of bug chasing, which are people who are actively pursuing the HIV virus, as well as gift givers who are actively trying to spread the HIV virus. And we started brainstorming, and I personally went into about 6 months of research, which, to be completely honest, put me into a little bit of a depression because it was somewhat overwhelming and just really sad.
Mm-hmm.
But out of it came this beautiful short film, Chaser, and we're both really proud of it. We did our best to stay as neutral as possible. We weren't trying to pass any judgment on it because each person has their own journey. We all have our own paths, and who's anyone to say what's right and what's wrong? So that was sort of the main challenge with the film, was to tell the story from a neutral, objective standpoint. And I think we achieved that, and we're very proud.
Yeah, that must have been very challenging to not go ahead and assign judgment with that sort of subject, because I think most of us would think you know it's ludicrous to go ahead and want it, and it's more ludicrous to spread it knowingly, and especially with all the HIV/AIDS information available now, especially on television and the internet and everything. You'd think that this HIV and AIDS would be long gone by now. You'd think that, you know, with the current treatments and stuff, and there's some great oral medications out there. Some countries even boast a cure. So, I find it a little obscure. Thankfully, your lovely Sal went ahead and sent me a clip. So I'm going to go ahead and actually play a clip right now of Chaser. This is Max Reiser and Chaser. Don't go away.
The urge for destruction is also a creative one. He wants something, but he's afraid to act.
Okay, the audio clip doesn't go ahead and do it justice. Go ahead and check it out.
The urge for destruction is also a creative one.
Oh, there we go. But, check it out on YouTube.com /Chaser trailer, and you'll get the full sense of exactly what you're looking at. But you've got a ton of new things in the hopper, Max, too. You've got a couple of new things coming out very shortly. Let's talk about Truth coming out, already in post-production.
Yeah, I just heard from the director-producer, it sounds like we will be, I don't even know if I'm at liberty to say this, it sounds like
exclusive.
We will be screening at a festival, Q Fest in Philly in July, which is great, because Chaser will be screening there as well, so I'll definitely make the trip down to Philly and support both of those films. I have a small scene, but from what I've read of the script, it should be quite an interesting, heavy little love story. I'm very excited to see the film myself because I haven't actually seen it yet.
Wow.
Aside from Truth, I was just cast in a film called Crying, which is being produced by Steven Tyler O'Connor, and has Anthony Rapp and Claire Coffey as the lead role. So that's very exciting for me. I'm excited to get to work with both of them.
Absolutely. Are you filming Nero Fiddles right now?
Say that one more time, I'm sorry?
Is it Nero Fiddles?
No, that project, as far as I know, is currently on hold and should be resuming any day.
All right.
As far as stage work goes, I think I just locked down a new project today with a playwright by the name of Matthew Evan Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan of his work. It's a play called Dangerous Walk. It involves some terrorism and some love. It's very off the wall, but very very funny and very moving at the same time. So I'm very excited about that. And I've been developing a play called Cover for several years, written by Bill McMahon. And we just got David Drake, who's a good friend of mine, on board as director, and we just cast Gerald McCullough as the man I fall in love with.
Fantastic.
So that should be very exciting. And then there's a lot going on, Michael.
Yeah. Well, no, it's fantastic. Which do you prefer better? You more preferring the live stage, or I mean, definitely movies is where the money is, but.
Right. I tell you, I think I fell in love with acting because of theater. The whole collaborative process, the month long of rehearsals, the relationships you build, the intense relationships you build with the fellow cast and directors. It's just something very, very rewarding to me about the collaborative process of theater, and of course being live on stage trumps everything. And then on camera, you know, it's so instantaneous, and the camera can make truly anything happen. So there's something very exciting and magical about that as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. Buddy, we're almost out of time. We've got 5 more minutes with you. Who would be your dream co-star?
Oh, you know, I was just asked this question.
Oh, really? The boring question, but the answers are good.
I admire so many actors, but I guess what I've been telling people for the last few years is I'll commit to, say, a week-long vacation or a day trip somewhere, with the exception of if Meryl Streep gives me a call and I have a scene with her. I'm not quite sure what that's about or when that started. Obviously a huge fan of her work, but that's true of so many actors out there. There's so much talent in the world. I'm excited to get to work with a lot of people.
Yeah. You are no stranger to the web series market. How are you liking the web series format? A lot of people, especially, I don't want to say older actors, but veteran actors are turning to the web series medium right now because of its accessibility. They get a brand new audience. They get people who have never even known them are being recognized for their work again. Are you enjoying the new web series format?
Am I enjoying it? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, are you enjoying it? It's a little different than commercial filming, definitely. But
yeah, no.
Enjoying...
Listen, I mean, In Between Men, as well as starring in the first season, I was also one of the producers. I was very, very excited to be a part of that. Left for a variety of reasons. Recently shot a little episode of The Out and was very sorry to hear that they're calling it quits after the first season. I have a whole bunch of friends on the show It Could Be Worse, which is brilliant, and everybody should check it out. Listen, it's really exciting, and I think everything regarding film and TV is changing, and, you know, Netflix is now producing its own original content. I believe Blip TV is producing its own original content. I think it's really... part of the future and where everything's going. So it's definitely exciting to have been part of it from the early years, and I'm excited to see what's next. I've been developing my own web series for about a year. It's called Sage Knowledge. I don't want to reveal too much because I don't want anyone to steal my idea. but it's, it's exciting, and the amount of exposure you can get is brilliant, and I'm really grateful for everything that In Between Men has done for me. It gave me a lot of exposure a few years back, and yeah, I'm grateful.
Yeah. The future of television, I find, is so very interesting right now, especially with two of the biggest daytime soaps, I think All My Children, One Life to Live, are now being streamed on Hulu in a subscription series. So you actually have to pay to watch your own soaps now, which I find is a really different way of restoring interest in an otherwise, I don't want to say, played out script, but, you know, there's only so many people who can die and be married and kill, and, you know, this stuff gets
right.
I'm really curious to see if actual television will actually fall by the wayside and have everybody be watching television on their smartphones and iPads. So I'm curious to see where that's going to go.
The world is changing really quickly in some areas, not quickly enough, but who knows? Who knows what the future will bring?
Yeah, no, change is a definite constant, and a constant that I look forward to. Buddy,
yeah, sure.
Let's go to where we can find you, Max Reiser. You can find him on maxreiser.com, IMDb, LinkedIn, thewaybackup.com, Facebook, Twitter. Where else can we find you, Max? Is that about it?
I think that's about it. There's a whole bunch of new social media invites coming through my email account every day, but I'm holding back. I feel like Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter is enough for me for now.
Yeah, no, you get really bogged down. There's too many pages to freaking check in the morning, I tell you that much. Buddy, I wish you every continued success. Please understand that
North
Victoria is your home, too. Feel free to come back anytime you got something in the hopper, Max. And again, thank you for taking time. And please say hi to Sal tonight at the screening of Chaser. Where is it, actually? Where can people go?
It's at the there's two different locations right next to one another. It's Windmill Theaters in Indy. indie studios, I believe. They're both on Kent Avenue in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And if anybody's interested in seeing the show tonight, I know it's very last minute, they can just go to the Brooklyn Film Festival website and get all the information and purchase as many tickets as they want.
Absolutely. Well, I can't wait to go ahead and catch it when it actually comes out and watch it in its entirety, Max. And once again, buddy, you know, I think this is your year. So I'll see you at the see you in Los Angeles at the Oscars, okay?
Sounds beautiful. Thanks so much, Michael.
Take care, buddy. Love you, Titan.
Bye.
Max Reiser, go ahead and check him out at maxreiser.com. He's got all of his work on there. A fantastic fantastic fellow to know and really easy to look at. So I see that we don't have the Stas right now in the hopper. So let's go to a little bit of music. This is actually, this will give you a nice introduction to a Stas, because this is the Romani song. It's the introduction, again, off the Live in Odeon Vienna soundtrack. It'll give you a little bit of exactly what he's all about. This is a Stas Tony with Romani. Don't go away. crowd goes wild. Estas Tone, Little Money's Money Production. Estas, thank you for joining us tonight all the way from Austria. It's very late there, my friend.
Well, it's late is an interesting definition, but thank you very much for hosting me tonight.
It's my absolute pleasure, buddy. Let's start from scratch. Born in the former Soviet Czech, and you are a studied musician. Where did you go?
Well, if we want to explore the story side of it, it will be just a story anyway. Do we want to get into the story?
Yes, let's get into the story, buddy. I seriously find you fascinating. So.
Thank you. Well, I kind of born in the former Soviet Union, though it's a country that doesn't exist even on the map anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's been so many countries, so many places that I passed through, I would say. Some I stayed longer, some I just passed. So it's been forming my musical education, I would say, this kind of travels around the globe. But
wow,
I did learn the classical guitar when I was a kid, and then I had a very long break, and then I just been rediscovering music from a totally different perspective.
Yeah, I'm curious to know about why the break. You took 10 years off, and what were you learning during that 10 years?
I could say that I can say that it was not even some sort of taking off, because if there would be a musician who would be already on the path of being a musician would take a break, it would be a break. For me, it was just not really a passionate road that I would choose. So I just studied it when I was a kid, but I didn't feel really connection in my heart to what I was doing. It was really nice, it was very interesting, but it was not very passionate. And then all sorts of kind of life challenges presented themselves, so I had to deal with my internal dragons, I would say. And then music came back in a totally different color.
Yeah, that's. I would like to tell you actually how I found you. It was late at night, and I was doing some editing on this book that I'm doing, and I wanted to listen to some Andre Segovia, so I put him on, and I'm going back and forth and stuff, and then all of a sudden, your music popped up, and it was breathtaking, to say the very, very least. And it was the piece of you actually in Germany that you were playing to a crowd of several hundred. It was stunning to realize when I went on your Bandcamp page that actually you don't charge for music, which I find very interesting. You offer a donation system. Why did you go that route?
I've got inspiration actually from some of my musician friends. They start doing that, and I felt that it's very correct in a way to share our talents with the world, that it doesn't based on the price, so it's just based on the sharing kind of consciousness. And so it's basically available for anybody all over the world to download it for free. And surely there are people who like to send donations, and it's beautiful that they can do that, because it's also allowing me to continue my path. Though I wouldn't stop my path because of that only, of course, if I wouldn't have enough. But I feel it's a really nice direction to take, this kind of art form, like any other as well. That
yeah,
it's based
on
the conscious of people, like how much they can contribute to it, you know, but without an initial price to it, you know.
Well, true, and I think you'd probably be, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you'd probably be more susceptible to feel the value of how people appreciate versus having to purchase something for a price. I mean, everybody values things differently. Would you agree?
Of course.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
But that doesn't stop me from doing what I do, you know, because I'm in love with this road. You know? I wouldn't change anything, probably.
No, you can certainly tell when you're playing, because I think one of the things I appreciated the most is that you have incense in your guitar, and there's this one scene where you actually get a big waft of the incense, and all of a sudden the smile that rises off your face and how the music changes at that point was really breathtaking stuff.
Thank you. Not quite sure what happens in those moments, because it's a pure magic, really. Yeah, it's a state of not thinking.
Yeah,
probably that's the place to be more and more. Yeah.
Transcendence, would you agree?
In a way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Transcending the thoughts, transcending all this mind chatter that goes on. There's no stop, really. Yeah, and out of that, we have lots of different kind of challenges that you might face.
Yeah, I totally agree. Let's go back to a little bit more music. This is Stas back with Happiness Comes Back Again. This is actually from Place of the Gods. You can go ahead and find his music up in chat, actually, at stastone.bandcamp.com. But when we get back, more with Stas when we get back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Estás Tony, happiness comes back again and again and again. Estás, on your page, you have put there that you are a modern-day troubadour. Now, definitely a word I had to look up, but how would you define troubadour in your sense?
Well, in a way, you know, there are sorts of different kind of definitions about troubadour. Today, there could be some artists also call themselves troubadours, but they still live in a particular place, in a particular country. They're going on tours, they're coming back home. But in a regional state of traveling artists, traveling bard, I would say, in the middle age, there were artists who would be going from place to place. They were spreading the news, they were spreading stories, they were sharing their music. They were sometimes political, sometimes funny, sometimes challenging in a way to the society. Yeah, and somehow this life style I live that's probably aligned with this concept, and I just walk this path. But I'm more and more going away from some particular interpretation of a story. Because, you know, sometimes people would see me as a traveling artist, so they would call me gypsy, or they would call me this, or they would call me that, or call me different names. But that's also just a projection, I would say. Somebody who look at the movie screen, and they would be resonating this particular story they see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, it's more like sharing this music, sharing my life in a way, just being it. Walk the life. That's what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. The term troubadour actually was during the High Middle Ages, 1100 to 1350. I find it fascinating that you're able to, and please understand where I'm coming from this, is that you're able to go ahead and fund your travels strictly on a gift-by-gift process. I mean, you're in Austria right now. You're playing in Austria, I assume?
At the moment, I'm just kind of in between.
Okay.
Because I have pretty intense 6 months tour where I go between countries. And I do experiment a lot with the structure and the improvisation, as it would be in music, as it would be in life. Meaning, like in other words, I would say that there is some kind of a structure that I have set up concerts all over the world, and there are lots of windows that I'm just free to feel, where is it I would love to go now? So I'm just going somewhere, and I have no idea what will happen there. I'm just feeling that's the next place I will go now. So
wow.
That's the state of being in the moment.
No? Absolutely, being in the moment. Is there a feeling or an inkling or a voice that tells you where to go, or you basically just allow yourself to feel?
Yes, I'm just feeling what is next, and I'm feeling also what is most beneficial on different kind of levels to be in what particular place. So I'm just following that call from inside. What is the next destination? There are always many, many options, yeah? But I'm just watching it closely and in tune with that.
Yeah, you've got to be wonderfully quiet and fine to go ahead and to actually listen to that inner being that everybody, I think, here in the States, I think at times can get very, very caught up with and lose sight of.
But it's not about particular country, it's not about the nation, it's not about, it's our individual experience could be anywhere. It's just what about, I would say that connected to our personal evolution and why and what we have to experience in the moment.
Yeah.
So I'm just following that, and it doesn't matter really in a bigger scale what road I would take.
Yeah. Your new work, Internal Flight, the inside movie, is now available on Bandcamp site, and it's about an hour, hour and X number of minutes long. It's beautifully, beautiful music, buddy. Talk about the new music for a bit.
Basically, it started forming naturally last year, like 2012. All the pieces that I've been playing many years, and all of each of them been, I wouldn't say composed, because I'm just playing the present moment the way I feel in the moment. Though the compositions formed through many years of travels all over the planet. And of course, it's been influenced by many cultures and countries and feelings and interactions and meetings and emotions and struggles and lots of sorts of kind of experiences. So basically, last year, all of those little stories, I would call them, start forming into this long journey that I have been dreaming about. How would I express a journey in a musical way, but not in a short piece? How can I express that in a longer journey? And this internal flight happened just in a space where my friends provided me this kind of very delicate environment where I could dive into the music without thinking about any audience, even though there was some audience, but it was very close circle of friends. And I just dive into this journey, and out of the journey of 2.5 hours, something like internal flight was born. And after this, I've taken it to meditation experiences where there would be 300 or 400, 500 people sometimes go inside themselves. Sometimes we would cover our eyes. Sometimes we would put everybody in the huge circles where people can experience themselves outside of the concept of a show, of an audience and a performer. Hello, hello? We lost the connection? Cannot hear anything in the moment. Hello, hello?
All right, everybody. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio. The call was dropped. The thrills of Blog Talk Radio and Skype, for that matter. However, let's go back to Estas. I think that's him right there. Estas, my friend, is that you? Estas? All right. We're going to go to a little bit more music. This is Paris Heart, Estas Tone. More with Estas, hopefully, when we get back. Take care.
Hello.
Joining us back now. Sorry about that, Estas. You know, the wonders of technology. Sometimes things just go awry. But welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thank you very much. But though sometimes this technology thing is just part of improvisation in life.
Absolutely.
You know, meaning like we should learn how to improvise when things disconnect, when they connect, and it's just pretty much our internal state, yeah?
Absolutely. Everything for a reason. Estas, we have a live chat room going during the show, and one of our guests, Giuseppe Lepoy, says, Eternal Flight is a trip. Great last magic creation by Estas. I listen to it every day, and I'm not joking.
Thank you. Thank you. So I'll just finish the thought about this experience of Eternal Flight.
Yes.
When all of these little compositions formed in this long journey, last year I played it in the festival in Latvia, 5 hours. That was probably the longest trip that we've taken with these people. And it creates a very interesting atmosphere that goes beyond the mind, beyond the story, beyond the audience and the performer. Because actually in the end of the performance, I left the stage and I put everybody on stage. And I went to stage and I let them feel how they feel to be on stage. We just exchange places.
Wow. You know, buddy, it was, again, not by accident that I found you. And I'm so thrilled that you have taken the time to go ahead and call us again so late, colleague from Austria, running out of time. Estas, but I know we can find you on Facebook at Estas Tone Music. We can also find you on Bandcamp.com. Where else can we find you, buddy?
Somewhere on the corners of this planet, somewhere on the stage, maybe, in festivals, maybe in the heart, because I'm just an extension, a fragment of all of us.
Yeah, that's very true, and you definitely made your way into our hearts tonight, and once again, I want to thank you so much for going ahead and taking the time to spend with us. Please understand that At Home with Victoria is now your home, too. Anytime you want to come back and you got stuff that you want to go ahead and talk about, we'd love to have you back, Estas.
Thank you very much for this sharing moment.
My absolute pleasure, my friend.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Namaste. Take care. Estas Tone, I'm telling you, the man is more spiritual than I got a little nervous talking to him. You know, I mean, the man is evolved on such a huge level. But go ahead and check out his music. I'm dumbfounded. However, I see the lovely Helen Slater is sitting up in queue, so I think I want to kind of embarrass her a little bit because I grew up with Helen. Of course, I've never met her before, but I've watched several of her movies and I enjoy her so much, and didn't know she was such an accomplished singer. So we're going to open up with a little bit of music from Helen Slater. This is Helen Slater with Warm Weather. Helen Slater in the house when we get back.
Warm weather now. Lovers making plans how to spend the weekend in the city by the sea.
Helen Slater with Warm Weather off her album Shine. Helen Slater, you are warm weather to me, my love.
Oh, my
goodness. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you so much for playing my music. That's so awesome.
You know what? I'll have to go ahead and claim stupid on this one. I had no idea you were as talented as you were, quite frankly, until I started digging around a couple nights ago, and then I emailed Sue, or Sherry, sorry, and said, I need some of the MP3s here. I got a better show than I thought, so to speak.
You know, I had sent 3 songs over, but not Warm Weather, so I'm so glad you picked that. I didn't quite know what you were looking for.
Well, you know what? Funnily enough, like I said, I was going ahead, and it was on Amazon.com, and I started to go, I actually paid for your music tonight, so, you know, the $3.
Oh, my goodness. That's so above and beyond, but thank you for that. I appreciate it, since I self-produce all my compositions and records.
Honey, I'm a big fan of the indie people, but again, thank you for joining at Home with Victoria. Welcome to your first time on here. It is an absolute pleasure to meet you. Big fan of your movies. I hate to kind of I may be a little gushy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So if I get a little nerdy, just you know, suck it up and take another chin. So.
All right, I will.
But yeah, the original Supergirl. I mean, how sick are you having to make that reference over and over again?
You know what? It doesn't come up that much. I mean, I've done a handful of the Comic-Con, but I don't mean to sound so like, oh, it's so lovely. But I am grateful when people are, you know, like, I like that movie. Or for me,
yeah.
It was the first in to having a career in film and television. So I'm very grateful for it. And I got to fly. Who doesn't want to do that or have
a
happy memory of that?
Oh, I know. I was watching some of the clips, and I thought, you know, boy, this is green screen 101. I mean, compared
exactly.
to what it was. But let's go back a little bit, Helen. Born in Bethpage, New York, the daughter
actually,
of Alice.
It's Massapequa. I know there's some reference out there, but I was born in Massapequa, Long Island, where Alec Baldwin and Jerry Seinfeld are from as well, I just would like to say.
There we go. Mm-hmm. How ironic that you would actually born in the same town as Jerry Seinfeld and then become Becky Gelke years later in Seinfeld.
I think Jerry Seinfeld has a joke like Massapequa, which is, I don't know if he says Jewish or New York for by the mall. You know, it's like
yeah.
Indian for by the mall. But I lived there just the first 6 years of my life, so it's not too, I don't have giant memories.
Right. Absolutely. Your mother is a lawyer and a nuclear disarmament peace activist?
Yeah, she's phenomenal. You can read her papers. She wrote Ralph Nader's energy policy, very, very politically active, lefty, you know, total, I don't even know what the archetype is, Bella Abzug, outspoken, and a beautiful, brilliant writer, if that's your political persuasion.
Right.
Sometimes
Absolutely.
Even, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I was reading, too, that actually, although Supergirl was one of your big success, at least in 84, you started an ABC after-school special, Amy and the Angel, alongside
yes.
James Earl Jones, Meg Ryan, and Matthew Modine. That would have been your first foray into television, I would guess.
Yes, and I was still in high school, and I was at the Performing Arts High School, that famed school in Manhattan, and we weren't technically supposed to work, so that really was kind of breaking the rules a little bit to do that ABC After School special. But, yeah, it was an amazing cast.
Yeah, really. How did you end up getting that, if you don't mind me saying?
We had a few of us. Like, I went to high school with Erica Gimple, Lisa Vidal. These are two very close friends that are still working. And we had agents when we were there, but mostly we would, in New York City, we would just be auditioning for commercials because that meant you would only miss a day. But the commercial agent would occasionally send you up for bigger things or, you know, more television-type stuff.
Right. Yeah. Billie Jean, was that after Supergirl?
That was.
Yeah, Billie Jean, great movie. I had no idea that was you until I watched it again. I had to actually go on and download it on Netflix because I didn't know that was you when I was watching it the very first time in 80.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
God,
I had no
funny.
Idea, honey.
That's people, that's actually kind of got this cult thing to
Absolutely
it. Like
it
I've had
does.
Women come up to me and say, you know, I saw that movie when I was 9 and I cut my hair off. Fair is fair. Like it has this, I don't know, and I guess the soundtrack, Pat Benatar and Christian Slater's in it and Yardley Smith and Peter Coyote. It just had like a good anti-hero
yeah.
message or something.
No, it was a great movie. And again, the 80s were great for all of those movies as well as Ruthless People. Now, what a coup to act opposite Bette Midler, if I may. So, I mean, everybody's brilliant, Bette Midler, Danny DeVito, but, I mean, Bette Midler, really. I mean,
so fabulous.
You must have been floored.
She was great. I mean, just very generous as an actress and very, you know, I mean, just so funny. Just her just who she is so twinkly and sparkly, and that part was just so hilarious.
Yeah. Have you ever had the opportunity to see her in concert at one of her concerts?
I saw it on television. I don't think I've ever been live, but I have seen her do that Sophie Tucker, right? Like, just incredible.
Well, you know, I think the one you must have seen was something in The Showgirl. The Showgirl Goes On, I think.
Oh,
that was on HBO. I got a chance to see her live up in Canada. And I'll tell you, the woman doesn't sit down for the entire show. It is an absolute nonstop. I don't know where she finds her energy, but, you know, quite
brilliant.
And, you know, the audience was filled with 90% gays, and it was a very lively crowd.
Oh, yeah,
but,
I'm sure.
Let's go to 1987, Secret of My Success, one of my all-time favorite films with co-star Michael J. Fox.
Sure.
How was that working with him?
Oh, I had a great time. That was also just like that was a real career, just a great part to get at that age at that time. It was a big movie. Herbert Ross was directing it. And Michael J. Fox was just as kind as could be. I had a great time. And I got to live back in New York City because we shot it there, which was so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where are you now, actually? Are you in New York?
I live in Los Angeles.
Wow, fantastic. Now, you're actually working on an ABC Family series, The Lying Game.
Yeah,
right now.
That's called The Lying Game. We just finished, well, not just finished, like a few months, 2 months ago, the first half of the second season finished airing, and we are waiting to see if we get picked up. We should know by July is when they said they would tell us. And I've also just finished I have The Good Mother, as you know, is airing this Saturday night, 8 p.m. on Lifetime. And then I just did these two independent films, which was great fun. One with Daphne Zuniga, where we are lesbian lovers, which I just had the best time with her. She's so funny, so much fun to act with. That's called A Remarkable Life. And then this little film with Bella Heathcote called The Curse of Downers Grove, where I play a mom, and very fun suspense thriller. So it's been a good year for me.
No, absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit more about The Good Mother, which addresses a very very grave syndrome that's, I had no idea I even existed until then. But I'm going to go back to a little bit more music from you. This is more from Heller Slater. This is Shoes, one of my favorites, so don't go away.
Hey, baby, I've been thinking about your shoes. High tops and laces with a touch of the blues. I think I'm falling over the moon for a boy with a back row tune down in the creek on a late afternoon, telling me tall tales of blue fields and chicory, kinfolk and small town trickery. Nothing I've ever seen, but I'm liking the feeling it brings. Hey, baby, I've been thinking about your hands working an engine while shooting the breeze with your friends, playing piano at church in the choir, picking up a beat-up guitar, beckoning me under the stars, singing sweet songs of Jesus and gratitude, getting high on love and the altitude. Nothing I've ever seen, but I'm liking the feeling it brings, and the music of the mountains so pure and unadorned. Nothing I've ever seen, but I'm liking the feeling it brings. Hey, baby, I've been thinking about what you read, bird by bird and Greek mythology, cruising Picasso to keep you inspired, lassoing your newborn desire, writing pages, cast caffeine and wire. Keeping track of the mess you're making, trying to stop your leg from shaking. Something I think I've seen, but I'm liking the feeling. I find it appealing. I'm liking the feeling it brings.
Slater with Shoes. You can go ahead and find all this music actually at Amazon.com/ Helen Slater. Everything's up there. The three albums, Shine, One of These Days, and Crosswords. So, Helen, are you still playing piano and making music?
Oh, I am. It's so funny you say that. I'm about to go to Nashville in 2.5 weeks to make my fourth record. It's an audiobook with music for kids, Greek myths for kids, and I'm just so psyched. It's got original music as always because my first thing is composing, but I always loved Greek mythology, and I've taken these five myths and just made them for kids, so I'm really, really excited and hope, and just hope to maybe take it on the road, like as a show or something, or at least
Absolutely.
Sell the CDs for schools and those kinds of places, yeah.
Absolutely. Do you have a lot of connections down there in Nashville?
I don't, but my producer, who did the first two records, I met in a UCLA songwriting class, and he had a writing deal through DreamWorks down there. So we've done the record pretty low budget, relatively speaking, because in Nashville, the players are so incredible. We did both albums, and we'll do this one all live with the musicians in the studio. You kind of just press go, and off you go and make the record. You
Wow.
have to have a strong constitution to do it this way, but I think it's going to be great.
Oh, absolutely. Nashville's a no-nonsense town, and I'm so happy that you're on before you go, because I got tons of friends down in Nashville that I'm going to go ahead and send you actually in a private email. A few people you should know there is Shelly Rann is Nashville royalty down there, and she is brilliant. You and her would get along famously brilliant
okay.
students from that girl. Absolutely, yeah. It's a great town. We've had a lot of Nashville people on the show, and they are so down home, so normal, so not affected by Hollywood puke and all that crap. You know what I mean? They're just there for the art, and it's truly a blessed place to be in.
I have to say, these musicians, because I have, you know, I'm a cello player and flute and clarinet and whatever, different instruments, and everyone, there's hardly anyone that's from Nashville per se. Like many of them come from Chicago, New York, L.A., and find their home there because as musicians, it's just, it's where I feel like the best kind of you, they're just so phenomenal at what they do. Not that there's not great musicians everywhere, but sessions players specifically,
yeah.
just getting them in a room. Here's this, we're doing a thing called Greek mythology. Off you go, you know. It's just,
right.
And there's that improvisational quality that is just so spectacular.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that. What's the premise of the whole thing?
But the way this is very different from the first three records, which was more singer-songwriter. This record is really going to be an audiobook. So I've taken five myths, Persephone and Demeter, Perseus and Medusa, Orpheus and Eurydice, Echo and Narcissus, and I'm just blanking on the fifth one now. But what I do is I pared down the myths so they're really accessible for kids. And these myths are so incredible, so engaging. There's monster stories. There's stories about how the seasons come to be, where does the word narcissist come from, echo, you know, that kind of stuff. And then I will tell the story as if I'm like telling my daughter or telling kids a story. And then in between will be two, three, sometimes four songs as either a character in the piece or as the narrator to help explain something, but usually as a character in the piece. That's
wow,
kind of
fantastic.
It. Do I have to get it pared down? Is the pitch too long?
No, I think it's brilliant and stuff. When can we look forward to actually seeing something out? This year or early 2014?
I mean, I'm going to say we should have it wrapped, shrunk wrapped, and although everything's digitally downloaded now, but probably by August, I would say, or end of July.
Oh, wow.
Pretty fast turnaround, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's my hope. Thank you so much for letting me talk about this. It's so rare I get to do that, and I feel so grateful for that. Thank you.
Oh, I know. I just thought you must be on a sick of all the junkets for you know, The Good Mother, which I think is a fantastic. I only saw a couple snippets actually Sherry had sent me. But yeah, no, I feel sorry for. I feel sorry for you guys when you have to do these things, because it's coming out June 8th on Lifetime, The Good Mother. Go ahead and check your local listings. But The Good Mother, you have such a gritty role in it. You described it as delicious because you got to see the full development of the character. The film is about Munchausen by proxy, basically. And you're a crazy lady. Helen?
Yes. I mean, I know that we are, you know, Lifetime had us tag that this is a serious mental illness, Munchausen by proxy. But I do want to just alert your listeners that the actual piece is this kind of suspense thriller, grab a bag of popcorn, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? Wait, is that it? It's more on that level than I would say kind of a deep, deep look at this illness, although from an acting point of view, it was so much fun. I had the time of my life. I got to rage and sob and throw things and pretend that I'm a mother who's only compassionate and loving. And I mean, you know, just from an acting point of view, it was so fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And seriously, for a Lifetime movie, it's gritty. It is a
yeah.
piece of work. And congratulations on it, honey.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. Actually, I have an audio trailer here for it. Let's go ahead and play it right now. This is Helen Slater and The Good Mother.
Ms. Sanders, you are clear that this infraction is a violation of your probation. Given the unique nature of the circumstances surrounding your case, your violations, your own mother's abandonment, neglect, and history with the law.
I don't blame you for hating me, Jillian. I've been a horrible mother.
She's just lost. She needs direction. I can't tell you how much she's helped out since Melanie got sick.
But I do believe in second chances.
Hey, Jillian.
She's going to help me with your sister for a while.
Did my mom put you up to this?
She bailed me out.
Mrs. Jordan, you need to calm down.
Right here, take my hand.
She's losing oxygen.
I'm her mother. I'm going with her.
Clear?
She cannot die. She has to.
What are we supposed to do?
We have to go on with our lives.
Cheryl, I don't even know who you are anymore.
I just haven't fully accepted everything yet. Hillary has a 50 to 60% chance of developing the same disease.
Look, this disease is very confusing.
I have already lost one child. I can't go through this again.
I am her mother!
Bob Keller from Social Services. We have an order of protection for Hillary Jordan. We need to remove her from the premises.
What did you do to her?
What are you suggesting?
I found traces of a substance called ricin. I can't figure out how that and the morphine would have been combined other than someone intentionally mixing them.
Slowly poisoning your children.
Oh my God.
Sometimes it takes someone besides ourselves to see our own light.
I can't change what I did or the hurt that I caused you. The damage is done. But I will not give up on you or on us.
Where would you be without my love and affection?
I want you to tell me the truth, Cheryl.
God,
I want to know.
I am the best mother you ever had.
I also believe that sometimes we find better examples of how to navigate this world in mothers who are perhaps not our own.
The Good Mother with Helen Slater airs on Lifetime. Check your local listings on Saturday, June 8th. I know where I'm going to be Saturday, June 8th with a bucket of popcorn, that's for damn sure.
That's so fun. Well, thank you for playing that.
My pleasure. And Helen, may I just say, and again, I'm not kissing your ass too much here, but you never age. I mean, I don't know. Seriously, honey, you're just as beautiful as ever.
There was this the DP on The Good Mother. I don't know if what he was holding in his hand, if it was fairy dust or something, but I thought all the women, Beverly D'Angelo, and there were just a couple of other women, that he just knew how to light us. And it really is an art, I have to say. Can I tell you a really funny story with my friend
Helen Hunt?
I said we were hiking one day, and I was like, I was watching The Lion Game, and I hadn't seen it before, and we were hiking, and I said to her, Helen, I look so awful in this TV show. I look horrible. Like, I can't believe it. I look so terrible. And there was a long pause, and she said to me, because we're dying. And I said to her, well, if we're dying, I look fantastic. And then I cut over the hump. I was like, all right, bring on the crone. Here we go. But anyway, so, yeah.
Yeah, so are you close with Helen?
I am, yes.
She's another fantastic actress. I think she needs to go ahead and start making her way back in. I think she made too much money off of As Good As It Gets.
Oh, she has. She just got nominated for an Academy Award for The Sessions, and she's working.
Oh, God, you're right. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God, I'm an idiot.
That's okay.
Yes, you're right. Absolutely. So besides the book and everything, and besides The Good Mother, what's coming up for Helen Slater?
I did finish these two movies. One, A Remarkable Life with Daphne Zuniga. I'm really looking forward to that coming out. We play gay women, lesbians together. Don't know when that's coming out yet. And also another independent film called The Curse of Downers Grove with Bella Heathcote. And also should be out sometime. Hopefully getting a distribution deal.
Fantastic. Well, Dahl, we're running out of time. I want to go ahead and thank you again for calling in. And once again,
remind
our audience to go ahead and tune into The Good Mother on Lifetime, 8 o'clock here on the East Coast, but double-check your local listings. Honey, I hate to say honey, but that's the way I talk to everybody. Helen, you're a simple delight. And
thank you.
A wonderful time to chat with you. I appreciate your time so very much. Continued success, and maybe I'll see you at the Nighttime Emmys this year.
Oh, thank you so much. Take care.
My absolute pleasure. Take care.
Bye.
Helen Slater, the beautiful Helen Slater, and talented Helen Slater, fantastic show. And that's it for another edition of At Home with Victoria. I want to go ahead and thank all our guests, Max Reiser, check him out at maxreiser.com, Estas Tone at estastone.badcap.com, and Helen Slater, check her out on Facebook, and also watch her this Saturday on Lifetime Television for The Good Mother. So I want to thank all of our guests up in chat. Bob Sipes, guest 6241, guest 7210, Mike Cullop, my brother from another mother, and the lovely and talented Richard Cutting, helping me out, putting together some MP3s today. So I want to go ahead and thank. I want to make a very quick mention up to what's his name? The psychic, and I'm searching. David Beck, actually. David Beck is actually going to be doing psychic medium gallery readings in Carneys Point, New Jersey, June 8th at 7 p.m. at 275 Shell Road, Carneys Point, New Jersey. Call 856-514-2222 for tickets, $60, and you get to go ahead and get your fortune read. So I want to end with a little bit more music from Helen Slater. This is Helen Slater, Below the Line. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of At Home with Victoria. I'm Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for tonight. Have a good night.
Falls apart. I binge and cringe at my off-colored remark. The sweat starts to shine. I'm below the line. Why do I care if she thinks that I'm cool? I'm trying to be somebody I feel like a fool. I should say that I'm fine. I'm below the line. Hush, and now won't you lay down that reptilian familiar refrain? Count your blessings, your past adolescence, though it'll spook you, then nuke you again. And 800 pounds. The gorilla is caged in my head. If I could, I would stay all day in bed. Just a sad sack, two steps back in a self-assault design. I'm below, way down below, below the line.
Been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.